I want to extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glad to be with you again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us. Lord, we pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your Word. Lord, we just thank you, God, for all that you do for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, I pray, to walk in your light, the liberty, Father, that you've given us. Again, we just want to thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning I want to talk a little about this, I guess, liberty. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. The Bible teaches that Christ is the light of the world. He's the light that lights every man. Last night on the streets we were talking with a man and he was wondering about Buddha and Muhammad and some of the other men throughout history and wondered why we were so exclusive talking about Jesus. And began to explain to him that the Bible says that the light that lighteth every man was Christ. God's Word has gone out. God's Spirit is trying to light every man. And men like Buddha and Confucius and the philosophers, some of these men took time out of their lives to actually seek what is truth. And they devoted their lives to just pursuing what is real. And the reason so many of the religions of the world seem to be saying the same thing is because there is a spirit behind what we see that's trying to light every man and teach him a higher value, a higher calling, something much more than what is just going on commonly in the world. And many of these men had heard a little of that light and were following it. And we'll leave God to be the judge of what happens to those men. But Jesus came, not just a man or a prophet hearing that light, but Christ came as that light itself. He came as that one that was trying to light every man in their conscience. And He came in a bodily form, in the form of a man. And He began to speak that light. And this world killed Him, because that much light was exactly what they didn't want. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Christ came as the light of the world so that we could be set free from all those things that hold us in bondage. Christ came to bring us liberty. Liberty from those things that seek to destroy us. I want to read here just a little bit in Hebrews chapter 9. And Let's just begin in 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Christ came and He offered His life and His blood to set us free, to purge our consciences. You see, in the garden, God created man and he was of a pure conscience. He was innocent. And when man chose to disobey and sin against God, he yielded himself to Satan. And Satan took man's conscience and defiled it. He took man's free will and got a hold of it. When Jesus came, He said, "Whosoever will." He was declaring a freedom of our will. Christ came to set us free from those things. Whenever a man sins and whenever a man yields to Satan, Satan uses the temptations of our feelings. He uses envy. Think about these things, these sins: anger, hatred, lust. All of these things, what are they when you think about them? What is anger? Where is anger? We can see the results of it, but what is it really? What is lust? We can see the results of it, but what is it really? What is envy? What is jealousy? What are these things? The Bible says that Christ said that these things come from without a man and defile him. They come from within the man and defile him. We see the evidence of those things, and we see the bondage of those things. But that is what Satan uses to entice us: a lusting, a desire, a coveting, an anger, a bitterness, an unforgiveness. All of those things are just things that go on in our minds. That's what Satan uses us to lure us into decisions that our bodies carry out. And then after we listen to him for a while and we follow through with the desires or with these thoughts, these temptations that he brings upon us, and we carry them out, what happens then? Our conscience condemns us because we went and listened to him. And men become trapped by their guilty consciences so that they can't be at liberty to choose to follow what God wants us to follow: the love, the goodness, the kindness, the meekness, the things that are opposite of those things that Satan offers us. Whenever we become trapped in our consciences and our mind condemns us and we just see ourselves as completely hopeless, Because we're condemned. We're guilty. Our consciences are just right there. And they won't let us be free. Jesus came to set us free from that. The Bible says in one place in Romans, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk in the light." To those who are in Christ Jesus. That condemnation has been taken away. And now we're choosing to follow. In Romans, chapter 2. And we'll begin just begin in verse 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, and knowest that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself with wrath, unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, or written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." I want to bring out you see these those who do not obey the truth. Unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish. That's the fruit of those who don't obey the truth. "But honor, glory and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For God is no respecter of persons." Our conscience is either excusing us, accusing, or excusing. Or it's clear. Accusing or excusing. A lot of times we see Jesus as some substitute, and And when we defile our conscience, and the Bible talks about it being seared with a hot iron, we suppose that it's all right, and we just feel better because Jesus died. And so our conscience is making excuses for everything, and it just is all taken care of. And then some people's conscience excuse or accuse continually. Christ came to set us free. It says that we're going to be judged by what we've done. Every man according to his own works. Sometimes we hear arguments of, I've heard it often, that people, well, they just don't feel like they've got the right attitude. And so they don't do something because they don't feel like they have the right attitude. We're not going to be judged by our feelings. We're going to be judged by our choices. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't feel like things are right. We're not going to be judged on our feelings. We're not going to be judged because we feel like something was right or we feel like something was wrong. We're going to be judged according to our actions. Satan uses condemnation. He uses accusing. He uses excusing so that we don't make the right choices. He'll use any weapon that he can to keep us from choosing what's right. I know of people who, women sometimes, that may not obey their husbands because they just don't feel that way in their heart. And they feel like they'd be a hypocrite if they go ahead and obey. Or sometimes they feel like, well, I'm not going to do this way, or I'm not going to act this way, because that's not really the way I feel in my heart. And so they just choose not to do what's right and continue to feel bad about it, because they're afraid they might be a hypocrite. I want to talk a little about hypocrite, being a hypocrite. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. And went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. We have an example of a man who had two sons, and he wanted them both to go to work, go do his vineyard. And one of them said, I'll go. And then he didn't go. I think he's got a picture here of the Pharisees, the hypocrites. Someone who says, yes, I'm all in, I'm here, I'm a Christian. But then when it comes right down to putting it into practice, they don't do it. A hypocrite is someone who is an actor or a pretender. Someone who portrays himself as something and then they don't do it. They say and they do not. They put a big show on about what they do and how righteous and religious they are. But then they don't make that choice. But then there's another that maybe struggles with what should be done. They may not want to do it. They may not like it. I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to obey my husband today. I don't want to... whatever. I just don't want to. Then after a while, they just get up and do it anyway. They just get up and do it anyway. I don't feel like a Christian. I had a bad thought. I had temptations. I had struggles. I felt anger. I felt bitterness. I felt unforgiveness. I felt like he don't know what he's talking about. But then they got up and did it anyway. Which do you think pleased God? One says, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest. I don't feel like doing it, so I ain't going to. I had a bad feeling, so I'm just not going to do it. That's a false honesty. It's a lie. But someone actually, I didn't feel right about it. But I'm going to go visit them anyway. I didn't feel right about it, but I'm going to go do it anyway. That's who Jesus commends. The person who actually goes and does what he's supposed to do, no matter how he feels about it. We've got this idea that Christianity is whenever I feel forgiven, or I feel that everything is just wonderful. And I pretend, and I can pretend to be honest. But Christianity is facing those times that are hard, facing who you really are, and just going ahead and doing it anyway. Because you know that's what needs to be done. Just like this man. A hypocrite is someone who puts on something that he isn't. Hides behind some phoniness. You know, a lot of times people are struggling. They don't feel like Christians. Sometimes this hypersensitivity feeling unworthy, feeling worthless, feeling condemned all the time, and just seeing yourself as absolutely nothing. We've been set free. I'm not saying we're not going to be accused constantly, but we've been set free. And most of the time when that focus of unworthiness and worthlessness is just a pride, it's just being covered up. Instead of just being honest and facing things as they really are, and just being what we're supposed to be, just rising up and saying, I don't feel this way, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to lose myself. I'm going to disregard the way I feel. And I'm just going to do it anyway. And you know, whenever we start to act on what we know to do, it's amazing how our conscience just starts becoming clear. Whenever we start to do what we're supposed to be doing. That's what Christ came to do, to set us free. And we want to stay hidden in our bondage of condemnation. We want to hang on to our unforgiveness and our hatred and our attitudes. We'd rather hang on to them and hide behind them instead of just saying, I'm going to let him go and do what's right. I'm going to work on forgiveness. I'm going to take care of it. We'd rather hide. Some people hide in religion. Some people just hang on to it. The remedy for that is just doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes I just start looking at myself and I just see, oh, I'm short in this area, I'm short in that area, I'm short in this area. And you just kind of builds. And it just seems like you're drowning. It just seems like it's all just, what am I ever going to do? And then I think, you know what? The next time that situation arises, I'm just going to take that step and do what's right in that step. Satan wants to drown us in whatever he can drown us in. And Christ just wants us to walk. You know, I think, okay, well, I messed up there. And then, oh, I messed up there, and I messed up there. And we start thinking about all of this stuff, and it just tries to bring all this guilt and condemnation upon us. God is not pleased with the sacrifice. He wants us to obey. And so we can get so caught up in our past or something that's happened to us in our past, and just completely miss the next step right in front of us. And that's what He wants. Walk in the light. Okay, you messed up. Get up and go again. He wants us to be real. Right now. He wants us to be real. Today. You know, I think I want to just give you my opinion of a few things, or at least one. And it can take on a whole bunch of different names, but it seems right now, Facebook, I hate it. I hate it. You know, and this is one thing, the whole computer, whole thing. Someone can get on a computer, hide out in their basement somewhere, and become anything they want to be to anybody, and no one will ever know it. People can write things, and there's no accountability. They can just build themselves up and create themselves into the best Christian. And all you have to do is say all the right words on Facebook. That's a hypocrite. And on the other hand, sometimes we can just be as honest as we want to be. Say things that we would never say to somebody's face. And really be real. And be hiding right behind. And it don't have to be Facebook. We can do that in a lot of different ways. That's just one avenue of it, of being a hypocrite. That's just a real handy avenue of it. You can hide. You can hide and be real. Or you can hide and be pretend. It's the same thing. It's all hypocrisy. God wants us to be. Satan stole our free will. Jesus bought it back. We can act. Right now, we can just act and be what God wants us to be right now. Christ is the light of the world. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 21. Well, let's just begin in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh your reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I want to just add a little something there. What is the hope that's in you? A lot of times we use this verse that we've got to be able to answer every man, every question that he ever asks us. That's not what it's saying. What is the hope that is in you? It's Christ set us free. Our hope in whatever we do. We get so caught up in the big picture and the big scheme of things instead of just being what we're supposed to be. Be ready always just to walk in the light that's right in front of you. Christ set us free so we could do that. The accuser is always trying to get us tangled up in something else instead of just being what he wants us to be. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you. It's not about knowing every answer to everything. It's be ready to speak about the hope that's in you. What is your hope? What hope is in you? With meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Having a good conscience. When you just step and walk in the light that you have, Christ set us free. He did something that bulls and goats couldn't do. He broke the power of Satan in our consciences so that we could have a clear conscience. When we repent and start walking in that light, that's why the Bible talks about for conscience' sake we do these things. To keep our consciences pure and holy before God. having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you when you have a clear conscience. They can say whatever they want to. And if you have a clear conscience, it don't hurt you. But if we've got something to hide and defend when somebody says something about us, it hurts us. When we begin to build walls and protect ourselves from what's somebody else hurting us, it's because we don't have a clear conscience. Nobody can hurt you unless you let them. Nobody can hurt you unless you let them. We live in a time where everybody's so sensitive about everything anybody says. Well, they used to say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Words will never hurt me. The only reason they hurt you is because we let them. Usually because there's some truth to what's being said. It hurts us. Instead of facing it, we build up a little wall. I'm not going to let them do that anymore. We put on a little show. We go a little further. We protect ourselves. A lot of people feel lonely, like nobody cares. Nobody understands them. Nobody. Do you know why they do that? It's because they've built a little wall around themselves and they won't let anybody in. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe somebody has done them wrong. But they're hanging on to it and won't let it go. The reason they won't let it go is because they're afraid. They're afraid to trust God. They're afraid just to walk. And that little shell and that little armor around them keeps everybody out. And you can't help them until they tear that wall down. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It is a glory. It is good when we partake of what Christ partook of. Your good being evil spoken of. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waiting in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Having a good conscience. Christ set us free and rose so that we could have a good conscience. That we could have a clear conscience. we need to put to death the old selfish man that listens to the temptations that Satan brings, that listens to all those things that lead us to bondage. We need to die to that. The Bible says, reckon yourselves dead. You know, had this thought this week about baptism. Baptism is a symbol of what happens to a dead man. They're buried. It's the burial of a dead man and a new man rising in its life. That's the picture of it. You don't die after you get buried. You die before you get buried. And you get buried because you're dead. That's what baptism is about. You're putting to death this dead man. This dead man who's been put to death is now being laid to rest. And the new man is going to be risen. I thought that was pretty neat. So many different things about baptism it's not just the religious act of baptism. It's the death that makes the baptism valid. It's the death that makes the burial valid. Jesus had to die. That's the heart of the whole thing, is the death, so that we can live. Christ came to set us free. He came to give us our will back. And when we just simply take it back and walk, our consciences can be purged. The blood of bulls and goats simply kept you from being put to death for your crime right immediately. It could only keep you from being punished for what had to happen to you when you broke the law. But the blood of Christ cleanses you from those things. It purges your conscience. It broke Satan's power so that we can rise up in newness of life, not be under bondage of all those things. The light that lighteth the world is alive. It's a glorious, glorious thing. The light that lighteth all men is alive. And He's Christ. To cleanse us from those dead works. To cleanse us from our own condemnation. So that we can rise again. Anyone have anything you want to share? There is no merit in feeling perfect love towards everyone. But when you have to, a dog can do that, lick you on the face because he feels happy about you. There's no value in that. But whenever we don't feel like it, and we still go ahead and do it anyway, we forgive them. We let it go. We fight those things and do it anyway. When they speak evil against you, instead of having to defend yourself, you just go on and do right anyway.
Then
you might rejoice. Feelings play so big. That's all anger is. It's a feeling rising up in us. Just feeling envious, feeling jealousy, feeling this or feeling that. And we yield to them. That's sin. But when we deny them and act anyway and do what's right, that's faith. Doesn't take any faith to love the loving. Doesn't take any faith to love your friends. That's what Jesus was talking about. The sinners are good to the sinners. The publicans are good to the publicans.
Exactly why I told you to decide that, just because the thought enters into your mind doesn't mean it's sin. That's his game, to put those thoughts in your mind. The only reason it's sin is because we keep pressing on him and we listen to him, just like Eve in the garden. Okay, it wasn't a sin that Satan lied to her. The sin was she believed the lie. And God speaks the same way to us. I mean, sometimes we have good thoughts. Where do they come from? It's where we yield ourselves. To whom ye yield yourselves. Satan is over here tempting us with anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those things, lust, whatever. Who are we going to listen to? But they're coming. That's the war. And we fail sometimes. And then we either fall into self-pity, fall into condemnation, and just lay there and give up, humbly saying, "Oh, I'm worthless. I can't do it anyway. Jesus will just have to take care of it." Or we get up and fight. We say, "No, I've failed, but I see that now. And I'm going to get up and fight again. And I'm going to yield to the right next time." What happens when we lose is when we give up. The war is for our soul. The war is for our mind. And we cannot keep... Now, that's where the war is. It's going to be there. That temptation, that constant barrage. You think it gets better when you get older. Well, I hate to disappoint you. Seems like it's getting worse. Exactly. It isn't a good deed until it's done. Exactly. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I ought to do this. It's just like sin. I mean, it's an equal playing field. The soul is basically neutral. Whatever it yields to, one way or the other. I mean, God has made it just a level playing field. And whenever we're tempted to do wrong, whenever we follow through with it, it's a bad deed. It's wrong. When we're tempted to do right, if we can use the same words, it's not a good deed until we put it into action. That's a blessing. I've got... Exactly. He had to lose his will. He had to lay it to God's will.
But I was just thinking about that older person. Next Sunday we can see what Job said about that.
Yeah.
He was about 60 years old.
Yeah.
First verse of the next chapter.
Amen. We're in a war and it don't stop till we die. In glory, we won't have Satan whispering in our ear all the time. But we're not there yet. I mean, I think we'll have a free will in heaven. And I think that's why we go through the tests that we go through. See if we're going to make the choices that we belong there and that we can stay there and we want to. But if we give up and don't want to, well, first time a temptation come along in heaven, we'd probably go chasing after it if that's what we wanted. God's looking for those who want to be there. God's looking for those who want to be with Him, want to do what's right. We've got to make those choices. Praise the Lord. All right, anyone else? Well, all right, pray for us this week. Going to go see Brother Oliver and Brother Bert there in the Philippines. Spend some time with them. Next weekend, so pray for that. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your goodness again and Your mercy. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us, Father, in this battle for our souls. Lord, that You would help us do the right and shun the wrong. Give us wisdom. Fill us with Your Spirit and power. In Jesus' name, amen.